Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Glad you could be here today. We are starting a new series today. We're going to do for several weeks on God's plan for the church. And several people are going to share, and I'm going to share today specifically on that topic because it involves all of us. So with that, why don't we pray together, and then we'll get a chance to worship and sing to the Lord together. God, thank you that you have called us, and we are your people. Pray that we would all sing to you and worship you and know you better from being here together today. Amen.
Well, good morning. Why don't you all stand up again and just take a moment and greet each other around you. Say hello.
Hi, Blake. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Good to see you. You still sound a little sick.
Hello, good morning. We're like the only ones up here to agree to you. What's that? Yeah.
All right, that's enough fellowship time. All right. Well, we have a lot going on this winter, as always, and the women's ministry is doing a lot this month. They started an every other week Bible study on Monday night, and those are all standalone. I meant Friday. Those are all standalone sessions, so you don't have to, be there at the first one. The next one is February 10th here at the church, just in the office, in the library. So it's open to anyone. Come on out, and you'll have a good time. That's at 7 p.m., so that's this coming Friday. And then we have this coming Sunday is our monthly breaking of bread in homes. So Sunday. So put that on your calendar if you don't have that on your calendar. Then the next week, there is no women's Bible study that Friday, but that Saturday, we are having a jewelry party fundraiser for a building fund. So every once in a while, we try to do a fundraiser for the building fund and keep that account up to date. And so this fundraiser is for women. I guess anyone can go. It does say something like, don't forget to bring that top that you've had a hard time accessorizing. So I guess anyone that has a hard time with that, but that is here at the church, and Jeannie is going to pass around some flyers for those of you guys that are interested, but that'll be on the 18th, and you're welcome to invite anybody to that. It should be, it's not just a fundraiser. It's a good gathering time and fellowship time and doing that kind of stuff. So that's on the 18th. Finally, a new announcement that we just want to announce way ahead of time to kind of get it out there is on the 18th, Dean is going to be bringing a group of people to a local conference called the Scatter Conference. And it's a local conference, one day only. You don't have to travel. It's right here in West Chicago with a bunch of churches getting together. And as you know, kind of our nation has been in like the state of unrest lately. Really for the last year or longer, and it's just been building. And this conference is to bring together the churches. It's an outreach conference to talk about outreach with God's love, to scatter God's love around and minister to this country with the truth of Jesus Christ in a loving way. And so here's just a little video. I thought it was pretty good, so let's watch that.
The world is as divided as it's ever been. We all see it or feel it. The hopelessness, confusion, frustration, the weariness. But it's times like these that matter most. Times like these where we have to decide exactly who we are, who we're going to be, what we're going to do. Where we have to decide, will we shut our doors, fence off our fields, look after our own? Or will we swing wide those doors? make the whole of the earth our field. Celebrate what makes us different. Hold fast to what makes us one. To plant the seeds of peace, love, of hope. To reach deep with both our hands and scatter those seeds like He told us to. Will we be the people God made us to be? The peacemakers, the lovers of the lost, the light of the world? Will we open our hands, our doors, our lives, our eyes, and work to bring this world what it's longing for?
So if you're interested in attending that conference, and like I said, it's an outreach training conference, motivation conference, inspiration conference for us to be the light of the world and to love the lost and in this world, see Dean, and he'll give you the details on that. Other than that, enjoy the rest of the service, and children and teachers will take the offering, and children and teachers, you can leave after you're done with the offering, and enjoy the rest of the service and the rest of the day.
Good morning, everyone. We are starting a new series today, and the series is the same as my title, is What is God's Plan for the Church? And so I want to start off, and we're going to start off with an exercise. So you need to find a pencil, something to write with, pen, and hopefully there's a pad in front of you. I'm going to ask you two questions, and I want you to write down the answer, the correct answer. To these two questions, you will turn these in and be graded on these later. Just kidding. So here's the first question. Everyone got something to write on? So someone walks up to you and says, "Tell me about your church." What do you say? Write it down. What would you say? Tell me about your church. What is your church? What are they about? Go ahead. Take a minute. What would you say? Enough time? Everyone got a few thoughts down? Okay. We may get time to deal with this today. If not, I'm sure one of the other pastors will deal with this in the next 3 weeks. What is a deserter? A deserter. Person who eats desserts. A deserter. What is it? Someone who deserts. You might hear that term in the army. What is a deserter? Someone signs up and then they leave. What is a deserter? All right. Thank you for that. So you can set that aside for now. And so the church, so to do this, we're going to first look at what the church of God isn't. And we're going to stop and pray here together that God would give us some insight to this. So why don't we do that together? God, thank you that you created the church. It is yours. It is yours. It is your work. Help us to understand more clearly what your plan is, what your intent is, and how diligent and faithful and consistent you are. Amen. So I want to do two things today. I want to talk about God's plan for the church. I want to talk about what the church is and get a little establishment there. And then we're going to go into what is God's general plan. And over the next several weeks, Greg and Mike are going to continue down that road of what is God's plan in more specific fashion. But to do that, because we live here in America, in the United States, the way we talk about church, and I do this as well, and I'll tell you a story. We have actually one of the founding pastors of this church started a church in Germany, was the first church to go over there, first man to go over there with his family. His name's Daniel Gehring, and he has another fellow co-pastor there in Europe. His name is Martin Bonet, and his family came and stayed with us for a couple days. And I don't know if you know this, but Europe used to be a sending, not ground, but they were sending missionaries all over the world. And what's really turned around, where now, like Germany, for example, is fractional, it's less than 1% Christian, people who would say that they are Christians. And so I'm talking with Martin. He's staying at my house with his wife and kids, and I'm going, wow, this is interesting to talk to someone who being a Christian is very unusual. And so I said, how do you do church in Germany? And he was deeply offended. He looked at me straight in the eye and he says, do church? We don't do church. We don't do church. And I was like, what did I say? What did I do? I was like, I offended him somewhere. Now, I'm going to stereotype people. Words have meanings. A lot of Germans are very precise about certain things. And I had used the wrong meaning of the word. You don't do church. So we're going to look at that for a minute. In America, how we talk about it, and I do it too, where do you attend church? Where do you attend? Ever attend something? You attend a concert. You attend, what else do we attend? You attend a play, right? You attend a school. I go there. I visit there. You don't attend a hospital. Have you ever noticed that? It's different. You're part of what they're doing. I'm going to attend something at the hospital. Going to attend at the... No, you're involved there. Church is not something you attend. So first... When you came in this morning, there's a little green sign out front that says Glen Arbor Community Church services, 10 a.m. And what's the implication? This building is the church. That's what the sign says, the church. The church is not a building or a physical location. You know, there was a while we met in Chicagoland, and we did not own a building. We rented facilities. We rented a high school at one time. We met at COD. We rented a conference center. That was probably the best place we were for meeting. We met at that the longest. But we were still a church without the building. But how we talk about it, how we think about it, we identify, oh, we meet there. We do things there. If we sell the building, if we get rid of the building one day, if our tornado comes and knocks it down, then we create an insurance payment and we can rebuild it the way we want it. Not that we're praying for that too often. It is not a building. It is not a building. What else is the church? If you look in the Bible, the spiritual people, the people of God in the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. And then Christ came and he invited everyone into his kingdom. So there were Jews and Gentiles. Is the church of God Jews or Gentiles? These people of nationality, these categories. No. It's people who believe. When Christ came, it's people who believe and trust and have faith. It's not a particular nationality. Actually, Paul said, what is a true Jewish person? A true Jew is a person who trusts in Jesus Christ. Who says, I'm not good enough to stand before a holy God. I need to be forgiven. I need to trust. That's what a true Jewish person was. And Paul was Jewish. He was. He was an Israelite. The church is not a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not an environment. It's a group of people. It's not these different categories. So I want to look at the Greek word for church there. And depending on where you look it up, sometimes they really didn't like these two K's, and so they replaced it with C's, but it's ekklesia. Ekklesia is the Greek word, and how that translates is what is the church, is there's two pieces to this word, ek, which is pronounced ek, I think, is to be out of, to be called out of something, out of. Kles, the last part, kles, is a calling, to be called out of. You put the two together, you get to be called out of something. So the church is a gathering of people, a company or an assembly of people that is called out of something. And every time in the Bible, the word church is used, it refers to people. It doesn't refer to a program or a meeting location. It is referred to people. So here's a radical thought. Someone says, hey, tell me about your church. You know what you say? The church is me. It's us. It's this group of people I'm with. They're a little funny sometimes, but they're a good group. Because God's involved in their lives. They're the people of God. They're the true Jewish nation now. What is the church? It's this gathering of people who've been called out to live a different life. That is what the church is. So, going down the biblical definition, a little farther down the road, what is the church? What is the church? So I'm looked in the scripture, and there's some terms that are kind of unusual. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would reside in the temple of God. As a matter of fact, the high priest could only meet with God once a year, and there was all these rituals to be with the Spirit of God. And when Christ came and made the sacrifice for all men and women, everyone, for every person, that changed. In the Old Testament, you had to maintain a certain performance to have God's blessing. You had to have a certain amount of obedience. The Holy Spirit would come and go in people's lives. In the New Testament, when a person is forgiven, they are joined to God. Married is what the Bible says. Married, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in a person's life. Ever hear that voice in the back of your head? Really shouldn't be doing that. Is this the best thing? It might be your conscience. It might be the Spirit of God going, or even the voice that says, hey, this is a good idea. This would really help someone. Where does that come from? Could be the Spirit of God. So what happens is the temple of God in the Old Testament was a building. It was the temple where people would come to worship. Christ changed all that. The temple of God becomes the people. Because God lives in the Christians, and we represent God here. Like it or not, believe it or not, hard to believe, hard to fathom, I'm God's representative, I'm God's ambassador here. That's what it says. That's what the Scripture says. We represent Him here. And we're going to look at some of these. These verses are some of the ones that talk about that. So this next concept, I have to be honest, makes me very uncomfortable, and I'll tell you why. And it's nothing spiritual, it's just me. But Scripture says that we, the Christians, are the bride of Christ. And I read this and I thought, that makes me uncomfortable. Why is that? And I think it's because I'm a guy and I don't want to be called a bride. It just makes me uncomfortable. So I'm looking at, well, what is this concept really? What is this talking about? And I'm married, have four kids. I understand the concept. The concept is we are married. When you to God, we have an intimate, close connection. And I was trying to relate to this, and sometimes I feel like God is far away or off somewhere else, and it's really me. My mind is off somewhere else. I'm thinking about something else. God is consistent all the time. So I was thinking about, well, I know what it's like to be in love, to be engaged, to be connected to my wife. I can remember when we first started dating or courting together, and I had this, I'll tell you the story. I had this plan. I have two engineering degrees, so I had a plan all on paper, drawn out of, we'll date for this long, and then I'll get to know her parents, she'll get to know my parents and family, and so this was in 1992. And so it was Christmas time, and I flew out to, my parents live in Connecticut, and I flew out to go see my parents, and the guy driving me to the airport, he says to me, we're not engaged yet, we're courting, dating, and he says, you're going to get engaged. So I was going to see my parents, and Robin was going to come fly out and meet my parents for the first time. So Brian's driving me to the airport, and he says, you're going to get engaged, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not. I have this plan. This plan of what I'm going to do. And so, and I had it all written out. I think I still have it somewhere. You know, we're going to date for this long, and then we're going to get to know each other and get to know each other better. Da, 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 da. And then, and we'll, you know, we'll probably get engaged in May, and we'll get married late in 93. Late, maybe, you know, if this works out. It's very cautious. And I was kind of cautious because one of the guys I lived with was engaged. And he had to, the girl broke off the engagement. I live with this guy, and I just don't want to do that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I was very cautious just because it was hard to watch, even though it wasn't me. So for the first time, we've been seeing each other, and I go, wow, now I'm not with her. I'm on my own at my parents' house. And I missed her. And actually, I called her up because I was used to seeing her every couple days, and I missed seeing her. I called her up, and I had already had a plane ticket, you know, for her to fly out, but I couldn't stand it. I said, hey, go to the airport and get on the plane now, would you? Can you come tomorrow? And I didn't tell her why, but I just want you to come sooner. Is that okay? Can you come sooner, like now? Because I want to see you. I want to see you, I want to be with you, to be the bride of Christ. There's a desire to want to be together. I want to be connected with who God is. It's good, it's the best thing happening in my life. He's the source of life and the source of all good. As you mature and grow as a Christian, you start to see that this is a good relationship. It's the best thing you have in your life. And you go there. So I think I can tell you a little more of that story. So she comes out when she was supposed to because she wanted to be with her family. And I realized, I said, I was praying about it. I said, wow, God, I think I want to ask her to, just when I told Brian that I wasn't going to do this, I said, I'm going to ask her to marry me. And I was praying about it, and I felt like the Lord, you know, gave me an impression. He goes, no one has any reservations about this except for you. So it's okay. So I prayed about it, you know, and so now I'm trying to figure out, well, where do I propose to her? You know, where do I do this? So it's New Year's Eve, and 1992, and she's there, and it's one of our first full days together, and we meet my parents, and we go see my grandmother, and we're driving all over, and I'm looking, where's the right, you know, looking for the right place, you know, where's, we went to the beach where my grandmother was. It's December, but it was all foggy, and not, I says, nah, it's not good. Went to the Mark Twain house in Ken Hartford, and it's kind of cool, but it was kind of musty and dark. I said, that's not good. I says, I know I could talk to the staff and let me have a private room. Wouldn't it be cool? But that wasn't right. And so I had my brother, the guy who's going to be my brother-in-law, who I went to college with, I said, so where it's New Year's Eve, we're going, walking downtown Hartford. I said, show me around Hartford, John, So he starts, I said, where's the perfect place? And he shows me here, too crowded, too busy, too much street noise. And then he shows me Constitution Plaza, which is an elevated plaza with trees, and it's all by itself. And there's these Christmas lights all in the trees, and it's beautiful. And I go, oh, that's it. Now I have to get rid of John. But I wanted to be with her. I wanted to ask her to marry me. And she said yes, by the way. It was a good story. But the bride of Christ, there's a desire. So it's that we want this relationship. And the relationship will greatly affect you. A relationship with God. It should be the biggest influence in your life as you're devoted to it. Just like you're devoted to your husband or your wife, or if you're not married, if you ever get married, be the most significant relationship. And that's what your relationship with God is supposed to be. That's what the church is supposed to be. Devoted to God, that God is first. So, we need to move on from these marriage stories. So, 1 Corinthians 9:11. This is a verse I had up before, and I want to look at this in detail. For we are God's, we are co-workers in God's service. You don't attend your marriage. I go see it once in a while. I go talk to my spouse once a week. We are God. You are God's field. You are God's building. The church is not this building. We are God's project. What is the church? God is working in us that He has more of our hearts, more of our minds, more of us. God is working in our lives. That is what the church is supposed to be. Paul talks about the foundation for this, but by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Each one should... And he goes on to talk about this. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The only basis for a relationship with God is that you are totally forgiven, that someone paid your debt. There is no other basis. If you're going to earn your own way to God, you're going to be disappointed. It's not going to work out. You're going to have to maintain your relationship with God. All of your maintenance was paid for by Christ. That's the way Christianity works. And that's what Paul's saying. This is the only foundation. Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on his foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to light, be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. The church, which is the people, which is the Christians, which is the people who trust God, represent Him here, and we are to be doing the best we can with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to being a witness and an ambassador for Him. If what has been built survives, the builder receives a reward. You know, I was at the ARC Center last night. I went there There wasn't a lot of people there because it's Saturday night, and I was talking to one of the staff person, and I said, "Oh, I gotta go home to bring my son to the teen to youth group," and he looks at me, and he goes, "Youth group? Don't youth groups meet earlier in the day? What youth group meets at 7 o'clock on a Saturday?" And I said, "Hey, when I was in high school, I was always getting in trouble at 7 o'clock. We would, you know, drive around looking for parties when I was in high school." And so it's actually good to have a teen group that meets at 7 o'clock. It gives the kids something good and productive to do. And he looks at me, he says, and I was just talking about high school a little bit. And he says, "Yeah, but did you regret those things you did in high school?" So he's kind of trying to minimize that. And I go, "Yeah, yeah, I did. I did regret some of those foolish things I did. Because it will not stand. There was no value in it. In those things. The things built on faith, the things that God can use for the future, God will reward the church, his people, for investing in what he can use in the future. Some things we give our time, our energy, our emotional selves to, they're not going to last. They're going to be burned up. They're going to be of no value. This is verse 15. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved. We're saved on the basis of Christ, even though there's only one escaping through the flames. I look back and I was talking to this guy and I go, "Yeah, some of the things I did, it's just going to be burned up." Don't you know the church? What is the church? Don't you know you yourselves are God's temple? You. He's talking to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. They had a lot of problems of a lot of things they were doing. I mean, it was not a good template of, "Hey, let's build our church like this." And he's telling them, "You yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you. God's influence is in your life if you're a Christian. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. And you together are that temple." There it is. The people of God are the church. Anyone who attacks God's church will have to give an account for that someday. That's what it says. So what is God's plan? What is God's plan? A little more of God's plan is in Ephesians. God's plan is to use the church to train people to be a group, an assembly together to work for him. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. What he's saying is there's a different gifting in the church. People are good at different things, and we're supposed to help each other learn and work together how to follow God, to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. If you think about boot camp, if you go enlist in the army, you're trained in how to do things. You're trained in how to shoot. You're trained in how to do reconnaissance. You go through a very rigorous physical training so that you're in shape and conditioned to do the missions they give to you. The church is a mission field. You don't attend the army. You enlist. I've attended the army this week. I didn't like it. It was difficult. They asked me to do a lot of things, and I don't want to go anymore. He goes on in 4:13 and 14. So this process of equipping, what is the church supposed to be? What is God's plan for the church? His plan is that everyone grows up and becomes more mature. You have little kids, they grow up, they get jobs, they become more mature. That's what we hope for them. Until we all reach the unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure, the fullness of Christ, then we'll no longer be like infants. We're supposed to grow up. You will not grow up by attending. Attending is visiting. You have to enlist. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. What he's saying is, if people who don't grow up, they hear a new idea, a new concept, and they go from thing to thing to thing, and they never get anchored in what's true. And Christians are supposed to mature. That is God's plan for the church, the people of God. So, what is God's plan for the future? God's plan is not just here, not just in Illinois, not just in West Chicago, not just in the United States, but around the world, that the Christians are the ambassadors. They're the who represent him. You know, we just called our ambassadors out of one of the countries. I forget which one. I don't keep up with all those things. But ambassadors represent the country in a foreign land. I will represent the kingdom of God here, that God is real, that you can trust him, that he gave himself for you. How are people going to know if no one represents him? That's what the church does. A force for good. I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about, I'm trying this little social media thing to try to advertise my quadcopter class, and made a little video and put it online, and people are looking at it and stuff like that. But I thought about social media. If you're an ambassador for Christ, if you are the church, how do you use social media? What should you use it for? What should they find out if they connect with you? If you have a Facebook page, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn is for professional people, right? If you do all that, what should they find out? That's your brand. It's who you are. They should find out something about a person who is standing for God, who has hope that God is real. If you're just a consumer, you're going along. But if you're an ambassador, you stand for who God is. That is what the church is supposed to be. Your brand, your mark, is that you represent Jesus Christ. So what is the future of the church? So God, whenever God starts something, he finishes whatever he starts. I want to show you something here. I had had a leak in my bathroom last year, and because I'm cheap, I decided to rebuild the cabinet, and I couldn't find a new one. And so this is a piece of wood. So okay, where are my wood professionals here? What type of wood is this? Close. Maple. So, you are a work in progress. Now, polyurethane this. You can kind of see I started to finish this, right? So this is the wood. I love wood. It's beautiful. It's just got a natural look to it. This is not finished yet, though. It's in process. You, me, every Christian is a work in process. When will it be? Now, see, three coats of polyurethane. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nicer? Isn't that gorgeous? It looks better, right? When God comes, the church, we will all be made new. Every person, every imperfection, every struggle, the limitations of your body will be done away with, and your body will be perfect. God will make the whole world new. It'll be finished the way he wanted it to be, with no imperfection. Right now, what's underneath is all here, but it's not finished yet. It's just not finished. And whatever's not done, God will finish one day. Actually, Paul says that in Philippians there. Let's read this. Listen to my last verse for today. Paul says, I am sure of this. Christians should be sure of certain things. There should be certain things you should be sure of. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You're going to move so far in your Christian life depending on how much effort you put in and into being devoted to God and learning and relating to him. If I don't spend time with my wife, yeah, I was in love with her 20 years ago, but now I attend with her once in a while. If I don't devote myself, we get distant. It takes, oh, I shouldn't say this, about the woman I love. It takes work, our relationship. It takes effort for our relationship to be good. It's easier to do other things. It takes effort. With God, it's the same way. I need to make time to relate to God, and He will finish His work. So God's plan for the church, the future of the church, is that we are all going to be with God forever. And it'll be perfect. It'll be beautiful. It'll be, all relationships will be as good as they can be. There'll be no conflict. We will get along perfectly. We will enjoy being together all the time in a perfect way. I can't even relate to that. And we'll relate to God in a perfect way. That is the future of the church. And the call for the church is to represent that here as best we know how, here on the earth, so other people can say, wow, there's hope that God is real and hope for the future. So why don't we pray, and we'll have the music team come up, and we will get a chance to worship together. God, thank You that You are perfect and You are making all things new and that You will finish the work. You will be faithful to do that. Thank You that we can look at Your Word and each other and You together. Amen.